The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Friday, January 14th, 2022. And tonight we have on the board none other than that reliable engineer and Jiminy Greek's top assistant, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
There you go. And we have my two distinguished co-hosts from Pennsylvania and Texas, John and John, but they do have last names.
Hello, Pastor Ernie, and God's blessings to all our listeners.
All right, very good. Thank you.
God bless you, you all.
Pastor Ernie, you can just call me, you can refer to me as Texas John and him PA John.
Okay. You know, PA sometimes don't have a good connotation to it. Prosecuting attorney? What about poor, no, I won't say that. No.
Be merciful.
I got it. Boy, is he going after you tonight, Holman?
I know. Why
does he do that?
He lives and thrives on tormenting.
All righty, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we got to get to it, real to it. We got a really powerful clip coming up at the bottom of the hour that I'm going to get your two opinions of you two mighty men after we play that clip. We'll probably play about 15, 20 minutes of it. You'll really want to hear this. But here's the question. The rapture or the raptures, to be or not to be. We keep hearing people talking about, No, there's not going to be a rapture. Now, these are people that really haven't taken a very close look, you know, of Scripture. A lot of times they parrot a whole lot of what they hear other people say, or they'll take one passage of Scripture and not understand that, you know, God's Word, the Bible, talks about many things, right? And so there are those that actually hold to position of seven raptures, but then I guess we got to take a look at what their definition of the rapture is. And so tonight we're going to, and I'll be preaching, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes it between now and Sunday, but I'll be preaching the raptures, to be or not to be. What do you think, Victorian? Is that a good title?
Yeah, about the rapture, the blessed hope, to teach the truth of it, yes.
Alrighty, so we're going to take a look at two examples, if you will, of raptures. And we're going to start tonight in Matthew chapter 24, and we take a look at the tribulation saints. The tribulation saints, and you guys start in verse 23 and read all the way through 35.
started
20. What? Yeah, in Matthew 24, verse 23.
All right. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not.
For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Behold, I have told you before.
Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not.
For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man shall be.
For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
And he shall send his angels with a great shout of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven even to the other.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh.
So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door.
Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
All right, so now here we're taking a look at this, and this time these are the days that Jesus said, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. So this is during the tribulation period, but yet we see that at the end of that, we shall send his angels, and shall gather a sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together the elect from all four winds, from the end of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, so are we saying, there are those saying, with that right there alone proves, okay, that the post-tribulation period. But now let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we start with verse 13. And if we read verse 13 all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 19, 1 Thessalonians.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Okay, now, Now, we just read from Matthew 24 that this rapture, when he gathers, this would be at the end of the tribulation period. But here now, we know that this is before the tribulation period. So go and read, starting with verse 5, or chapter 5, read verses 1 through 11.
And 1 Thessalonians.
1 Thessalonians 5, yeah. Chapters,
verse 1.
Starting with verse 1 through 11. Mm-hmm.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you.
For yourselves know perfectly the day, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief.
For ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober.
For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who died for us that for sleep, we should live together with him.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
Now that is about as clear can get. It shows you that the tribulation period starts immediately after the rapture of the church. I mean, it's about as clear. Well, so, you know, there's other people that say, well, you know, we think maybe it might be a year or 2 years, but it doesn't say that, does it? Okay. So here we're talking about... Well, let me go back. Comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, with a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. So, but we look at this here. It kind of goes right into it. So, it's a very, very strong suggestion that that's going to happen immediately after the rapture of the church, right? Now, here, there are those that hold to seven raptures, but I guess what we have to do is take a look at the definition of a rapture. So the rapture would be mean with the catching up. Am I right, fellas?
Yep.
Okay, so...
in the air.
So, if we look at Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus is caught up. We go to Genesis chapter 5, we see Enoch is caught up, taken out. We go over to, 2 Kings, I believe it is, chapter 2. I think I remember Elijah is taken up.
And a fiery chariot.
Yeah. And so now, here we just read out of 1 Thessalonians... And then, of course, we as we look into, and we just read out of Matthew 24, the tribulation saints and the church. But if we look at Revelation 11, we see Elijah and Moses are taken up. Okay, and then we see that there's going to be a great multitude of Gentiles, and they're going to be martyred in Revelation seven and nine, but then they're taken out of the great tribulation. So they're taken out of that great tribulation period. So that comes out to seven, but are those really raptures? So anyhow, I'm going to be, Lord's willing, preaching on this subject to see if we can shed some light on that. What do you guys think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's excellent. Any time to teach about the rapture of the church is excellent because it's very edifying for the people. And basically, the rapture for us is looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now, does the Scripture say that the Lord's returning for those that are looking for his appearing?
Yes, it sure does, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27.
Does that mean that those that could be saved, and but they don't believe in the pre-trib rapture of the church, so they're not looking for his returning because they're fully expecting to go through the tribulation period? So would that mean that that's what they're going to get because they weren't looking for his appearing, that they'll have to go through the tribulation period?
Well, Pastor Ernie, that's a little touchy question. They can be looking for his appearing, believing in this. I mean, it's important to believe in his second coming. The timing is different than ours. You know, so they're looking for his coming, but not the imminent return like we are.
All right. We're going to have to get into this deeper next week because tonight we're a little crowded for time because I want to play something for you guys and for the people out there. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Are you there, Courageous? Let's go ahead and let's start that clip and just take it through until I tell you to stop.
The exception of Gates of Hell says, yeah, it's probably not a good idea to isolate the people. Rand Paul hammered him this week. But oh, look, nothing to see here because the rapture is coming. And oh, look, the Kardashians have a new show launching. I mean, Mike Adams, I'm going to kick it to you and you can throw it to Steve and Gary. But listen, I mean, this is incredible. I was reading that the U.S. Army to begin formal training to fight American patriots, all while I'm reading some of your stuff on your headlines. And I'm thinking, Mike, are we living? There's got to be a word for it. Only Steve Quayle is going to help us out because I've got a quote. Justin Fuhrer is coming around, lining us up. They want to go now door to door, mandated like Mussolini by decree. A fourth lockdown, a fifth booster. I mean, look at this headline on Natural News today. Mike, do you feel like you're living in a zombie apocalypse meets Twilight Zone meets satire sites? I don't know even what to say.
Meets Escape from LA and Escape from New York as well. But yeah, thanks for having me on. It's great to join these other amazing people here, Gary and Steve. I'm honored to be here. But look, this whole thing has been a blueprint. So if you go back to July of last year, Jen Psaki of the White House said publicly, you can see the videos online, that they're going to have strike forces or strike teams go into the communities to enforce the vaccines. And then you go fast forward to September of last year, and the state of Washington was putting out help wanted ads for strike team coordinators. And these were on the job boards. And, you know, we have the screen captures and everything, and they were going to be used to man the quarantine camps or the concentration camps, we call them. And then now we have the proposed new law in Washington, proposed by a Democrat. And again, this is a timeline. It's just like clockwork. They've had the blueprint for years. They rehearsed it all in Event 201. They're just rolling out the rehearsal. Okay, we're living in a rehearsed reality that they're just making live. The bill is WAC 246-100, and it would authorize armed health officers to medically kidnap anybody at gunpoint, rip people out of their homes, take them away from their families by simply declaring them to be at risk, even if they're not infected and show no symptoms. And then they can be taken to these involuntary, you know, isolation camps, quarantine camps. I think Steve will agree. These are death camps. That's what they're going to do with these. They're going to be death camps. And what they're doing is this is genocide. They're trying to get rid of all their political enemies by using health as the cover. So they will say, well, all these Christians and these Trump supporters and these Second Amendment people, they sure look unhealthy to us. They're filthy, dirty people. Take them to the camps. And that is all being put into place right now. Unless it is stopped, that's what they will do. They will exterminate their political enemies right here in America. Holocaust level mass death is coming if we don't stop it. So there you go, Sheila.
Gary, go ahead, and then you can throw it to Steve.
You know, the northern provinces of Australia, that's what they refer to as a state there, just made vaccines mandatory for people to go to work. So it's not difficult to see where this thing is coming. You know, Sheila, I'm glad you asked the question and you started the interview in this way today. We tend to talk so much about all the different COVID lies, COVID and transmission and so forth. I think people are weary of that. And it actually adds to the confusion to continue to bring all that stuff up, as important as it is. We need to focus now on what's in front of us and what we can do about it. We had some huge breakthroughs with Malone and his interview the other day with Joe Rogan. And of course, he's done some great interviews with Mike as well. And he's really talking about who's behind all of this, about globalism and the powers that be and the Great Reset. And I think our audience is made up of certainly the 20% of us that are awake. It's not made up of the 30% of us that are COVIDians, but here's who we're really talking to. It's the other 50% of the people that are not part of the cult, but that are simply compliant and not thinking. And those are the people that we can reach. I know that I've been frustrated that how do you wake people up? And certainly the 30% of the COVIDians, you don't. They're hopeless. But the good news is that half the people, I think, are reachable. And the evidence is so strong with Malone talking about the vax not working and Peter McCullough and some really incredible people out there bravely speaking up. And then, of course, the evidence, you know, the majority of people hospitalized today have been vaxxed. So obviously it doesn't work. People are dying in such numbers now. You know, Mike wrote about the insurance agency that had a 41% increase in deaths between the 18 and 64-year-olds as opposed to last year. So as this evidence becomes irrefutable, we're going to see these 50% move, and they're going to move in our direction. And, you know, the fact that we're probably 20% now is a good start. You know, the American Revolution started on, I think, 3% of the population in America. So we got a good start on this, and the evidence is coming. The problem is they know that this is coming, and they're going to do the next thing. And Mike and Steve and I are in agreement on this. And it's looking like now it's going to be the hemorrhagic fever that has broken out in China and appears to have broken out in the U.S. Steve?
Well, yeah, and I think that's really important. First and foremost, the Wuhan virus was a bioweaponized construct. It's coming out, at, you know, more and more. Shen Ping, it's a real guy in China, member of the Chinese Communist Party, said with their bioweapon, they defeated the United States. And the hemorrhagic fever, which is of the filoviruses, Ebola, and some of the different strains, there are a lot of different hemorrhagic fevers, like CCHF, which is Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever. The thing that's really, I think, underlying everything is the fact that they're not getting the public fear level they want. So they're going to bring up something that's even more deadly. And let's face it, when people start seeing blood flowing from different orifices, that's what happens. I'm being told right now, Gary, Mike, and Sheila, that there are 6,500 cases in the United States, and those people aren't in quarantine. And so the powers that be are allowing them to go through the land. And one of the words I coined, Sheila, was infectons. People who are totally infected with some of the most deadly diseases, biologically engineered to have a not only a rate of infection, but a time to showing their symptoms. And these people are out loose. So what I'm saying, bottom line, is the fact that they are going to release something that's so horrible. And I'm pretty up on the whole Ebola thing, because years ago when I wrote Breathe No Evil and then following with hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of hours on bioweaponization and viral composites, meaning Ebola pox, the different combination viruses that most people didn't know, mouse pox, the doomsday viruses. And I believe you guys, and I know you do too, that they want maximum fear. And Gary, one of the things that's interesting is Sheila and Mike, you'll appreciate this. One of the strongest Bible passages is that Jesus saying men's hearts will fail them for looking for fear, for looking after those things coming upon the earth. And the whole way that the COVID narrative is going is scaring people into compliance. And what's one of the main signs of that? Fear, they're dropping dead of heart attacks. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming in there. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, the powers of heaven, that's kind of lost on most people. That's talking about what, Mike, you call the demons, what, Gary, you and I call the demons. These are the very, if you will, the fallen ones and the authority they have over the earth. And they're on a crash course because it says, woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth, because the devil has come down, knowing his time is short, having great wrath. We're seeing the extinction protocols. And by the way, I would like to thank you, Gary, and Mike for participating in that, because that was the most important, the most well-attended conference that Gen 6 ever put on. And people are still blown away by it. So, you know, the thing is, this is not a normal time. This is not a normal period. The globalists, the Luciferian, the elitists, the Satanists have all pulled out all stops. They're going for it. And when you take the Deagle report, and then with this, I'll turn it back to you, Mike. But when you take the Deagle report that 250 million people are going to be dead by the year 2025, and John Deagle was a Rockefeller henchman, he's dead now. But the point is, you can see as we're coming into this time period, where so much volatility. And by the way, my numbers, I'm being told, 200,000 people a month are dying. And the cell phone records, you guys, are interesting because I know somebody who can get me the cell phone. They did. They said 1.2 million cell phones during the last 2 years were taken offline due to being crooked, stolen, or whatever. 12 million were taken off periodically during those 2 years because they didn't pay the bills. But the ones that were taken out of service who did not have bill issues, they just checked one source against the other, was about 5 million. Well, if you take 200,000 times, you know, 24, you come up with 4.8 million people. We're literally at the point now where all of their threats to take the world's population down to, you know, 500 million, and we'll talk about it later, but nuclear war seems to be getting ready to build up. But I think the thing that most people forget, you can do with a virus way more damage than you can do even with nuclear weapons. We're now where they are pulling out all stops. And remember this, I don't think people understand the degree of evil now that's in the land and that they will not stop until they kill every man, woman, and child. And this Washington state thing is so heinous that I'm surprised, seriously, you guys, that people aren't marching on that demonic governor, that possessant, who's saying they'll even take five-year-old kids. So you know what they do with the kids. And this is the most horrific, and I believe, in our face, probably the second to the Australians. What did they do? Forcibly inject 23 or 25 million children, Gary? No, 23 or 25,000.
Yeah, so Steve and Gary, you nailed it when you said you talked about the hemorrhagic fever or something along those lines that's going to be released. So when people see these stories about the concentration camps in Washington State, the reaction I get from mainstream people, normie people, is, oh, they would never use those in this environment. Omicron is fading away and so on. And the answer is no. They're going to release something else that's in the Fauci freezer collection that's going to be unleashed. And it's going to be something that is truly deadly, maybe something with a 30% mortality rate, so that they can have the fear. I mean, talk about a whole new quantum leap of fear of people dying in the streets, bodies, you know, on CNN, dead people everywhere like we've never seen before. And then they can say, well, now you have to comply. Now we have to take people to the camps if they refuse to be vaccinated. Now you have to show your papers. Now you have to take 5, 6, 7 boosters and so on. So all they've done so far is they've set the stage for this. Once they release the new weapon, they can roll out all of it. And one more important point is, Steve, you said that your data shows 200,000 deaths per month. Is that in the United States right now? Is that what your data showing?
Yes, that's okay. In the United States. 50 million phones in China went out of service and never came back in. So when you hear the Chinese talking about their mortality rate, it was the most, well, forgive me, how do you outlie the biggest liar on the planet, okay? But the phone records there indicated, and what's interesting, you take 5 million or 4.8 against 50, you can see that, you know, the percentage of people dying in the United States is greater than the percentage of Chinese, because like, what is it, 1.35 billion people in China? So, you know, I think it's important. And this is the thing. And, you know, Gary, you and I have talked about this at length. And I guess, Sheila, we all have amongst ourselves and pretty much told everybody what's going to happen. I remember saying that I was told by a scientist, and Mike, you got the, let's just say this, you got the information I did almost 18 months ago. And that was when it was my source was saying there's 46 slots to COVID-19, the bioweapon. And then that after that was going to come the hemorrhagic fever. Do you remember that?
I do.
And at the point that this has failed, they've lost this argument on COVID-19. And the fact that Fauci, I call him Fausti, based on the play by Goethe, Mephistopheles, who is the devil. Faust is a doctor, interestingly enough, who sells his soul to the devil and then tries to get out of the bargain at the end of his life. The bad news is he can't do it. So why is this man, and I call him an entity because I do not believe he's totally human, and Mike, you and I have talked about that, is basically killing more people on a global scale. Because again, when you add in the gain of function and all the different financing going on to the, not only the Wuhan biolab, but there's a whole bunch of other biolabs in the world, the idea of global genocide and population annihilation, it will put, in my opinion, Fauci as the greatest mass murderer of our day.
Oh, no question. Let me just add some numbers. I'll turn it over to Gary. I apologize, Gary. But remember that the number you mentioned, Gary, the 41% increase in total mortality in the age group of 18 to 64, comes out of life insurance companies. That's third quarter data from 2021. Let's remember that fourth quarter data is going to be obviously a lot worse. And remember that in America right now, 7,700 people die per day normally pre-COVID. I believe we're going to get to numbers that are 300% higher than normal death rates, which means a multiple of 7,700. Let's estimate 25,000 Americans dying per day in America. Now, it's going to take some time for that to unfold, but you've got the cardiovascular damage, you've got the neurological damage, the cancers that are being grown, the double strand repair mechanism suppressed by the spike protein, and so on. But folks, we're going to see 25,000 Americans dead per day before this is over. So I just want to add that, Gary.
Yeah. And you know, you have the mortician, it has a funny last name, Looney. In the UK, who's been shouting from the rooftops about the excess deaths, particularly with children, that's been going on. So, yeah, this is clearly coming. You know, I have a personal relationship with Rand Paul. I spent 3 days with him in Colorado last March, and I'm the one who taught Rand Paul about Fauci funding the gain of function. And I really had to spend quite a bit of time with him to get it to sink in. And of course, you saw what he did when he went back to Washington and went after him. And I love Rand, and I'm on Ron Paul's advisory board, so I'm close to the family. But as physicians, they all have this trance that they're under. And that's the term that Peter McCullough uses. And they just are unable to overcome the trance of their medical education and come to the full reality of what's going on right now. And I've really been frustrated with Rand because he knows that Fauci funded and directed the development of a bioweapon. And of course, they finished it off in Wuhan, but it was developed in Winnipeg, the university there, at the Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Galveston, UT. And the evidence of all the patents on each component of the virus or the bioweapon, excuse me, has been documented at the U.S. Patents Office. So there's no question this was a bioweapon. There's no question that Fauci guided the process, was credited with the creation of it in several of the issues of Nature Medicine magazine. And yet, you know, not only is he on television and still claiming to be a leader of this whole thing, rather than being arrested, not just for crimes against humanity, but also for treason, because he finished the product under the auspices of the Communist Chinese Army. And yet, my friend Rand, you know, he wants to put Fauci in jail for lying to Congress. Well, that is far short of what we need to be doing right now. And this is a fact that a lot of people have to wrap their heads around. If they developed one bioweapon and successfully launched it onto the world, you know, it was, certainly wasn't an accidental release. It's ridiculous to even assume that now. When you look at all of the things that were laid out ahead of time, all the coordination against with 193 nations as an example, if they did one bioweapon, why wouldn't they do another one? And as Steve says, they probably have 46 of them lined up right now to be released, each one timed for a specific purpose and a specific level of fear. And we have to be thinking again about the future and what's coming so that we can be as prepared as possible. And really, I want to commend you guys. We're really talking about what's important now, which is what's coming, so that we can begin to be prepared for it and to do battle. And it will be a kinetic battle that's coming.
I'll kick it to you, Steve.
Okay. Well, one of the things I think, if anybody looks at the Drudge report today, you're seeing the literal call going out from both the Justice Department, DOJ creating domestic terror unit, and then you go down to basically a couple stories about the Operation Guerrilla War exercise to be fought across North Carolina counties, the Army Wars, and battling freedom fighters, okay? Now, what's interesting is the transition that's being made. And Gary, Mike, you know this. This is neuro-linguistic programming. Anybody that does not go along with the vaccine is a domestic terrorist. And I'm on a battle on my email right now with a gentleman. He listens to me, he listens to you, he listens to us. Well, this exercise has always gone on for the past 20 years. I don't agree with you. And I said, that was 20 years ago when you had a country. Nothing is the same. And that's what I think people have got to understand. I'm privy to some communiques, and they're interesting because the Secretary of Defense and Milley, who is a traitor, the constitutional definition of traitor, is the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Trump, basically warned the Chinese communists, who were really at war with still, about the plans to deal with China. Did you notice how everybody, the narrative just ceased there? But I think what is really critical is all Christians are being ordered out of the military. How that's happening is because they want Christians out, they want constitutionalists out, they want Second Amendment people out, they want Trump advisors out, voters. They want everybody that won't follow the orders when they're given to go out and take the guns away and blow the anti-vaxxers away. And Mike, you've heard me say this, and Gary, you've heard me say it too. They're not coming to take the guns away. They're coming to blow the gun owners away. And the late Greg Evenson even told me, remarkable man, that the documentation he saw on a term yard farming doesn't mean growing tulips in your front yard. That's the Air Force term for using Air Force planes. Well, I mean, maybe we've got a chance now because all the F-35s are compromised, but to basically take out literally groups of resistance. Now, this is where it's critical. The fact is that Dmitry Dudeman before, and we're talking 28 years ago, he saw Russia bombing the United States. He asked the angel, and he was a Romanian pastor, did not speak English. He asked the angel, how are the Russians going to attack the United States? Because the United States is so powerful. This is interesting. The angel told him that the Russians had discovered where all American nuclear weapons are basically stored. Today, the article breaks that the military gave away the locations of all the nuclear weapons, and that's on my website. So here's the point. The other thing, according to Dmitry Dudeman's prophecy, is the fact that he made the statement that concurrent with that, or shortly before that, meaning the Russians nuking the United States, that civil war would break out. And what's important for people that they've got to understand, I've heard Christians for the last 20 some years tell me, well, they don't believe that. Well, what do Christians believe? Because they're watching the country being given over. So I think, Gary, this gets right into the whole basis of your film, Armageddon. U.S. soldiers expose nuclear weapons secret via flashcard apps. And it's really critical that people understand this. The Russians right now have in excess of 150 hypersonic missiles. That means that they got stuff that moves faster than anything in the United States. The average throw weight on the warheads of U.S. weaponry is about 1.2 megatons. So that's 20 times the strength. But the speed of hypersonic missiles that the Russians have demonstrated is astronomical. Even one of their hypersonic missiles, called the Avangard, goes 21,000 miles an hour. The fractional orbital bomb system of the Chinese goes 24,000 miles an hour. And in the last 72 hours, you guys, the Russians have demonstrated that they're able to take over the most sophisticated weapons communication and control platforms that either NATO or the United States possesses. So what I think is really important, we are on the point, in my opinion, and I don't know if it's days or weeks, but the Russians, after meeting with the Secretary of State, said they were stunned at the man's ignorance, that he couldn't talk intelligently, that he babbled like a baby. Did you see that, Mike?
Yeah, I saw that.
So this is all I'll say right now and turn over to you guys, because the thing is that this is really getting hot. Remember, it was Senator Wicker, if that's the right, I may have the guy, but a senator, U.S. senator said, well, we're going to nuke Russia. And then even Joey, I call Biden Joey, I call him the kangaroo kid. In Australia, they call kangaroos Joeys.
They do, yeah.
So jump around Joey. Yeah, so he threatened Putin, and they're threatening Putin with shutting him out of SWIFT system. That's the international wire transfer for funds between nations, between individuals. So the red lines that President Putin has put in place are actually being crossed. And I want to share something without going into detail, because there's some things I just can't say. That's not to be mysterious or nanny-nan, I know something. But what I'm telling you...
All righty, we are back. And John and John, does the United States, according to God's Word, the Bible, the wages of sin is what?
Yeah, death.
Does the United States deserve, do we deserve... this country, does it deserve to be destroyed?
Pastor Ernie, based on looking at the scriptures and how God particularly did with ancient Israel, yes. We are doing everything that ancient Israel did, to killing our children, to blatant, open homosexuality, mocking God, bringing in strange gods. We've done it all, Pastor Ernie, and I think it's only the remnant here praying and crying out to the Lord and interceding that's holding us together right now.
So does God always keep a remnant?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. And so we have our marching orders. Now, the prison preachers would tell you that you just got to surrender. I mean, you just got to surrender. It's, you can't stand the fight. I mean, that's the way things are. You got to surrender because, you know, you and I, remember we had our battle with the War College?
Oh, yeah, Pastor. I'll never forget that.
Do you remember why it was? They wanted to keep Christians out of the military. That was the start, okay? And we had our little Millie wasn't there. That was Admiral Mullins. Remember Admiral Mullins? And
yeah.
I had and you and I and Chaplain Klingensmith also had his battle with them, but they were totally anti-Christian. And remember, all of that was taking place when Abomination, the man of great, great sin, Abomination, when he was in the White House, remember what he did? He had all of the Bibles taken out and all the Christmas tracts from all of the VAs, all the chapels in the VA, all of the hospitals and that, they had them removed. And you couldn't even tell it was a chapel. We went in and we took cases of Bibles and brought them back in there. But anyhow, so we're seeing these things happening now. Like in Washington State, They're doing that. Now, here's what I believe. You tell me, both of you guys, tell me what you believe. But I believe that if they try to enforce that and use what they call the healthcare police to enforce that on people, I believe that patriots are going to go there to the state of Washington, and they're going to go to the homes of those healthcare workers. This is what I believe. And I believe the governor is going to have to leave the state if they do that, because America, there's still enough out here. There's still enough Americans that have given up, have lived with freedom, and they realize that that freedom was bought by the blood of good people, and they would rather, like myself, they'd rather die on our feet than live as slaves. What do you guys think?
I don't to analyze what's going on, Pastor Ernie. I think the resistance is spotty in America. I don't know what's left in the state of Washington and Oregon, you know, California.
Well, you're seeing, in Oregon, you've got four counties now that want to succeed.
Yeah, and go to northern counties in California want to secede, too. They want to secede, and they want to form their own state. I think they want to call it Jefferson. That's what they want to call it. But and when you look at the masses, especially in New England, they're like dead spiritually, dead patriotically. There's like, I don't know what's keeping them alive there, Pastor Ernie.
I think what they want to call in California is New Cal. What I've been told there.
No, the one in the north is they want to merge with Oregon and call it, they've been wanting to do that since the 40s. They want to call it Jefferson. But Oregon also wants to merge with Idaho.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it gets a little confusing, but I think what they really do need to do, and we've talked about this for years. Now, you know, our sheriff here in the county that I live in, our sheriff was one of those that had filed an amicus brief. He had signed on to the lawsuit against Biden's forced mandates, his forced vaccine mandates. So our sheriff signed on onto that. And I think a number of sheriffs around the country are preparing. I mean, they're preparing for to have to actually do battle with the Communist Party. That's what we're talking about. And when he said Milley was a traitor, I couldn't agree more. Could you?
Well, we just heard it. I mean, he told the Communist Chinese our war plans against them. I mean, what more do you need? Plus other things he did.
So did the Chinese get their money's worth? I mean, they paid the Bidens over $1 billion, the Biden crime cartel. So did they get their money's worth through Milley and that?
Well, if you look at it like this, Pastor Ernie, if they could, who knows what else they've been given. And certainly they've been given technology to take them from nothing to where they are now. And almost all of it comes from us. But if they gave roughly $1.8 billion to Biden and he is going to deliver us to them, that's cheap, Pastor Ernie. You know, that's worth, how much is that worth? I mean, $1.8 billion is nothing compared to what the cost of some major war, or, you know, maybe they'll have a limited war with us and just easily defeat us. I mean, they're going to save hundreds of billions of dollars.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, if you go out, if I go to where I normally go with people, where I go shopping, because I do a lot of work, especially with the Amish people and that, and it's fairly, for the most part, very conservative. So if I go into, and there's 10 or 20 people, let's say someplace, I can probably expect that most of those people there, and I know this because, you know, when I wear that hat that says America Needs Jesus, or the bumper stickers on my car, the pro-life bumper stickers, people will, you know, they see that, and I'll get a very positive response. You know, and that's in the area where I live and where I go. But let's say I was to go down into Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Houston, and we run into the average Joe on the street there. How much do you think they understand what we're talking about tonight? Now, the people that listen to this radio program, you know, they're highly educated people. They're people, you know, they try to use the word woke, but these are people that understand. They have, they're like more like the men of Issachar, who have an understanding of the times they're living in. They don't know what they can do about it for the most part, but they do understand where we're at. But if you were to go, say, to Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Houston there, or even Dallas out there, how many people do you think have any kind of an understanding of what the reality of the days we're living in?
I don't think many, Pastor Ernie. If they're not listening or gaining information somehow like you're providing and other websites are providing, if they're not listening at all, or they're feeding on CNN and MSNBC and some of these other liberal sites like that, zero, Pastor. They do not have a clue. And this is done on purpose. This is part of the New World Order gaining control and gaining control and keeping control, dumbing the people down. But part of it's their own fault, Pastor Ernie. You know, I mean, how many times does CNN got to lie to you until you stop listening to it? You know, how many times does MSNBC have to be caught lying before you stop listening, or the New York Times before you stop reading it?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question, you know, because I will listen to them just to see how many times they're going to lie to me. You're right. It's when the echo chamber starts, and they all have what they call the narrative. They parrot one another. They'll use the exact same words that's given to them. And I wonder how many people understand that that's what they're doing out there. I know CNN, their ratings are all-time low, and PMSNBC, the same thing. I mean, they're down in as far as believability. I mean, like down in the teens. They have no believability. They've just about totally lost it, because they don't have, you know, Fox News. At least Fox News has a few conservatives like Tucker, Judge Jeanine, Hannity.
Waters is pretty good also.
Yeah, and that little guy is the little comedian fellow. What's his name?
I can see his face. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, but he's actually pretty conservative, okay, when it comes on. I mean,
he's libertarian. He's a libertarian.
But he's outspoken.
Gutfeld,
yeah. But he's very outspoken. And so, I mean, and he, you know, for the most part, I agree with what he takes a stand that, you know, a moral stand for the most part. But anyhow, we're going to be coming up to a break. And then after the break, we got a lot of articles we want to talk about. But I'm just wondering what you think. Like, if we send Holman down there to the state of Washington to start, if we start the militia and prepare for the revolution, you think he can do it?
John can do anything he puts his mind to, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. Will you help finance him? I mean, I'll put some money into this.
I'll write checks to finance it. It won't go very far. I'll tell you that.
Hang tight. We'll be back after this with more.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.